From the Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with the Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name is Amanda Dunn. I'm the Politics and Society Editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, Labor's finally announced some details of its climate policy in recent days, with a key target being a 43% reduction in emissions from 2005 levels by 2030. How does this compare with the Coalition's target and what climate scientists say is needed?
Well, one important point is that it is a target. Now, the Coalition has stuck to the original Paris target of 26 to 28% reduction, although it says that the projection for emissions reductions will be higher, up to 35% by 2030. But there is a difference between a target and a projection. It is, of course, more ambitious than the projection, but not vastly more ambitious. And the very important point with the Labor policy is that it does have widespread support across the business sector, across business groups and big companies. Now, this is in dramatic contrast to the last election when the Labor policy, which was a 45% target, was being roundly condemned by business. So this does undercut some of the criticism the government will make of the policy. Nevertheless, of course, the government has launched a scare campaign saying it's a carbon tax and will have all sorts of bad effects.
Yes, and I mean, one of their key criticisms and part of their scare campaign will be that it costs jobs, won't it?
Yes. It's interesting, of course, that at this election, Labor is framing this policy very much in terms of creating jobs. It talks about more than 600,000 jobs, most of them indirect, but nevertheless, it is a policy that's cast in economic terms rather than primarily in environmental terms, because Labor thinks that's where the debate is, that's the most effective way of selling this policy.
Okay, and Michelle, there's increasing speculation that former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian may run for the federal seat of Warringah at next year's federal election. Now, this seat is the one that was once held by Tony Abbott and is now held by independent Zali Steggall. The trouble is there's still an ICAC investigation pending which involves Berejiklian, so it's not a particularly good look, is it?
The Liberals think that in political terms, in terms of votes in this electorate, it would be a good look because they believe that she would do well. Now, who would know, because of course she would have to go through a campaign where her position being unresolved before ICAC would obviously be one issue. But the Liberals are really, really desperate to get this seat back because every seat is considered to count in this coming election. It's regarded by both sides as being very close, at least at this point. I think that many people more widely outside Warringah, outside New South Wales, outside the Liberal Party, would be pretty dismayed if Gladys Berejiklian ran, because it would be really the government thumbing its nose at the whole integrity issue. So it could be something that had a backlash against the Liberals. Also, it's still unresolved whether she is interested in this seat. Sky was reporting earlier today that people close to her were saying that she was unlikely to run. But nevertheless, she's getting a lot of pressure. Scott Morrison's behind the push. Josh Frydenberg has had talks with her reportedly. A number of senior Liberals have come out this week saying she's fine, her integrity is strong, and there's no problem with her running. I personally think there is a problem, but certainly in the Liberal Party, they would like to see her have a go.
Okay, and I presume that we're not likely to hear from the ICAC investigation before she would have to nominate, is that right?
That's right. The report, well, as people who cover ICAC say, it's like a piece of string, really. predicting when these reports will come. Sometimes they take a very long time. But what would come privately would be the council assisting submissions to the parties. That will come in December, and that would give Gladys Berejiklian some indication of how the whole inquiry is going, what's likely to be said about her and potentially against her, because the parties are then asked to respond. But that is in private, and therefore the voters wouldn't know about that, although no doubt there'd be a lot of gossip and speculation.
Okay, and finally, Michelle, the United States has announced a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics in February. Now, this places pressure on other countries, including Australia, to follow the US's lead. How likely is the Morrison government to do that, do you think? And if it did, what purpose would it serve?
I'd be very surprised if it didn't follow. Firstly, because we're usually in lockstep with the United States. Secondly, because, of course, we've had a lot of rough treatment from China. And also, this is about the treatment of the Uyghurs, human rights issues, and we do have a strong stand on that. So, yes, I think that they will follow. As for the consequences, well, the athletes would still go. So it's a diplomatic gesture rather than a really robust boycott, obviously. There's some speculation that this would cause more problems with China and even problems for the athletes on the ground. But I still think that the government is likely to think that the gesture is worth making.
All right, Michelle, terrific to talk with you as always. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.